Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Whether you upgrade your car because you need to or because you want to, eBay Motors has all the car parts you need. Over 122 million of them, from new rims to seat cushions. All at the right prices. eBayMotors.com. Let's ride.
Millions of Americans are getting back to work. CareerBuilder calls it the great rehire. And we want to help you get the best jobs before everyone else. CareerBuilder gives you the competitive edge to get the job you want, at the salary you want, with the benefits you want. We even send job alerts, so your perfect job lands right in your inbox. Go to CareerBuilder.com today, or get left with whatever jobs are left. Find your next job fast at CareerBuilder.com. CareerBuilder is made for people who have that thing. You know, those superpowers that make you good at your job, the skills you bring to work. And CareerBuilder knows those skills make you right for other jobs too. Higher paying jobs with benefits. Jobs you never thought of trying. Are you a people person? Work from home as a customer service rep? Are you organized and like driving? Become a delivery driver. You have the skills it takes, and CareerBuilder.com has the jobs to get you hired fast. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Hey, welcome in. This is All Ball, the All Basketball Podcast. My guest this week is Nick Bob. Nick is a talented radio host in Omaha, Nebraska, and of course, he's a native Cornhusker, grew up in Lincoln, went to KU, then transferred to CU, to Creighton, and is an outstanding broadcaster on our Fox family of networks. We'll get to him in a second. Let me give you a couple of quick thoughts in regard to Zion Williamson. I like that Kobe Bryant finally stepped out and said, like, you made a commitment, you went to go play in college, finish up. This is not crossing the freeway dangerous, you know? Oh, he could suffer severe injury. I think the issue is there is a sense, you can tell me if I'm wrong, you can feel free to tweet at me at Gottlieb Show. There's a sense from some people that, well, Zion shouldn't play for Duke because Duke makes money off Zion. My point has always been that colleges make money off of the success of all their students. And the one difference is with Zion, yes, Duke would make money off him, off of his name and his likeness and his talents, and potentially win a national championship, another one for Coach K. Here's the payback. He'd be part of a legacy of champions at Duke. He'd be potentially playing the Final Four. we act like everyone in the world knows who and see, has seen Zion Williamson play. Let me explain this to you. There's lots of people that don't watch college basketball. College basketball's ratings, I think the one he got hurt in where he played 30 seconds in, yeah, that was, that got a 3.5. That is lower than the rating for the Pro Bowl. So we act like everybody watches college basketball. Everybody knows who he is. He's going to be the number one pick. The chance to play for a national championship is playing for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times as many people, which makes your brand, the personal knowledge of who you are, even bigger. He would be a huge star coming into the NBA draft, which he may already be, but it only cements it the more mainstream America sees him play in the NCAA tournament and play for the biggest name in college basketball, which is Duke. So this idea that only Duke makes money off of Zion is not true. It is actually a very, very fair trade, even for somebody as talented as Zion Williamson. And there is something to the commitment. We didn't ask you to commit for the rest of your life. This is not the Naval Academy or any of the service academies where if you play for 2 years, you got to serve for four. Like, no, we don't do that. Simply stated, hey, you committed to play when you're in college basketball, finish the year. If you're healthy enough to play, then play. If he's not healthy, I'm okay with him sitting till he's right, but it's just a sprained knee, and I think he just scared himself. Now, what shoes he wears and how he plays, much more interesting. And if he doesn't play well, he'll get the pass because people will say, well, he's tentative. He's worried about his shoe ripping. But to the he shouldn't play, look, I hate to break it to you, but when he was playing in AAU basketball and he played in Las Vegas a couple years ago and he played against LaMelo Ball, guess what? They made money off of him. They did. And he got exposure, which helped start the building of his brand. Same thing with YouTube. And in the end, it'll all even out, and he'll be worth a couple million by the end of this basketball season. He'll be worth, you know, tens of millions within the next year or two, and potentially, if he continues to improve, hundreds of millions. Let's also remember that unlike football, where if you're not playing, you can just be training, if you're playing basketball and you're not playing with a team, you're going to be training to keep your weight down, you can just as easily get hurt. What happens then? What if you're so injury riddled, and he's not, what happens then? Let me quickly get to the NBA and something I've noticed with the Boston Celtics. Gordon Hayward was trending the way of being a perennial All-Star. He'd only gotten one All-Star game, but he left the friendly confines of Utah. And Quinn Snyder, who I think had done an amazing job and still is doing an amazing job as a head coach. He'd left Utah to go to Boston. Of course, as we know, a couple minutes into his first NBA game with the Boston Celtics, he breaks his leg against the Cleveland Cavaliers. There have been a lot of people talking about whether or not the Celtics are better or worse with Kyrie Irving. And part of the issue is we look at raw data and we don't look at context, right? Whether he plays or he doesn't play, we don't point out the fact that the games that he's taken off, for the most part, have been games in which they could have a couple starters sit out and still win, right? Like, congratulations, he didn't play against the Hawks, or he didn't play against the Magic, or he didn't play against, but he plays against the big boys. That's how they manage him, as he's coming back from that, from the multiple knee operations that he had that ended his season prematurely. What's not discussed is the Gordon Hayward effect. Hayward makes so much money that there's, like anything, inherent curiosity, maybe even jealousy in that locker room. And if you watch, those guys are just not in on Hayward considering the amount of minutes and more minutes than shots he gets. Like, Gordon Hayward is getting 26 minutes a game, which is equal to Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown continues to be a better player. You know, whether it's Jason Tatum or Gordon Hayward or Terry Rozier or Marcus Smart. Like, look, Marcus Smart got paid in this last offseason, so some of it's not about pay in that type of ego, but just the idea that Hayward played for Brad, I'm sure translates poorly in that locker room. He's Brad's guy. And he is, you know, a former Butler guy who did break his ankle, isn't the same player, fighting his way to get back. And so while we look for reasons, curious reasons, why the Celtics chemistry is not good as of now. There's a couple reasons. One, I think, is we cover the NBA far more ferocity than we ever did previously. But two, I think Gordon Hayward and the effect of his contract, the effect of his minutes, and the fact that he played for Brad Stevens in college, was recruited by Brad Stevens. It leads you to believe, however untrue, that he's like Brad Stevens' son. He's always going to take care of him. And that creates jealousy, and that makes it so that there's not great chemistry.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5, and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Because it's pretty obvious that the chemistry as of now, is off with the Boston Celtics. Doesn't mean they can't turn that into a positive, but as of now, it's off. The Celtics thing is interesting because of Hayward, because Kyrie is still trying to figure out how to be a leader. But we also have to remember how we cover this thing. And I would guess that as you get towards the playoffs, the rotations will shorten. The minutes for Hayward, if the production's not there, will wane. And the chemistry will get better. This has actually happened for years in the NBA. We just didn't cover it nearly as thoroughly. I know I've been doing this for 16 years. We didn't cover it like this. So I'm not selling my Brad Stevens as a genius stock. I still think the Lakers make the playoffs. And I'm fascinated to see how all the rotations come together. But it wouldn't surprise me if Toronto ends up coming out of the East. They've been close before, and now you add Kawhi Leonard, who's an absolute killer at both ends of the floor. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Golden State Warriors, in spite of the fact that the West is not as good as it's been, struggle because DeMarcus Cousins still doesn't have lift. They're different defensively with him. And their bench isn't as good as it's been. Bet Rivers Sportsbook wants to invite you to discover the complete sports betting experience. The foundation of that experience is a massive number of betting options on nearly every regulated sporting event around the world. Add on top of that, live streaming of sports every day. There's almost always a live match to watch on Bet Rivers Sportsbook right in your phone. Bet Rivers features top-tier customer service, ready to answer your questions anytime, day or night. Plus, they have this unique rush pay system, and Bet Rivers Sportsbook can authorize most withdrawal requests instantly. Customer satisfaction is always their number one priority, and Bet Rivers will match your first deposit up to $250. Now, unlike some other sportsbooks, Bet Rivers only requires a one-time pay-through to turn bonuses into cash, so you're going to experience the difference. Just go to BetRivers.com. You'll see it for yourself. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. You got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Remember, Bet Rivers Sportsbook. It's the place. Just go to BetRivers, BetRivers.com.
Imagine fighting climate change every time you buy groceries or pizza. Now you can. With the Aspiration Zero credit card, you can reduce your carbon footprint by making the same purchases you always make. Aspiration Zero plants one tree every time you make a purchase. Or plant two trees when you choose to round all your purchases up to the nearest dollar. Track your progress in the app and earn 1% cash back each month you reach carbon zero. For a limited time, earn a $300 bonus when you open an account at aspiration.com and spend $3,000 in the first 90 days. Join the community that helps you fight climate change with every purchase. Aspiration Zero. One card, zero carbon footprint. The Aspiration Zero MasterCard is issued by Beneficial State Bank pursuant to license by MasterCard International Incorporated. Beneficial State Bank member FDIC 2021. Terms and conditions apply. Visit aspiration.com/zero for more information.
When was the last time you seriously considered your dream? Did something never thought you would do? How about live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van? You could tour the country, whatever you want to dream up. And we're talking about Mercedes-Benz van here. Expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. Expect performance and reliability with that MBUX voice command system. You're going to get 5-star dealer network available with a gas engine. Now you could win your very own Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Mode 4x4. You enter the Dan Patrick Show Ultimate Camping Rig Sweepstakes. You go to danpatrick.com or foxsportsradio.com, and there you enter, get official rules for a chance to win this beautiful Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. danpatrick.com or foxsportsradio.com, and you have to do so by February 2nd. Your dream is waiting for you. danpatrick.com, foxsportsradio.com. Some equipment described is optional.
Here's the way we do things here. I want to talk this year in college basketball, but I also want to talk about you and basketball. You grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska?
Correct. Yep.
Is there a neighborhood in Lincoln? Like, I know nothing of Lincoln other than I land and the only place. Like, I think it's a kind of an underrated place, but I know nothing about Lincoln. Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up across the street from Frank Solich. How about that? How about that little nugget for you? So Frank Solich, like when he would, you know, when you're out playing around, like football, basketball, whatever, in your front yard or in the driveway, like when Frank Solich turned, when his Suburban turned into my cul-de-sac, man, it was on to try to prove to Frank Solich that, you know, you were an athlete. But yeah, that's football country, as you know, Doug. I mean, it's Nebraska football 24/7, 365. My dad played wing back for Nebraska. My uncle played wide receiver at Nebraska. Like, there's Nebraska football, not only in my family, but in the area, where there's also a ton of coaching. My grandpa was a legendary high school coach and athletic director. There's at Fremont High School in Fremont, Nebraska, the gym's named after him. And so my uncle coaches high school basketball. My brother's a high school basketball coach. So there was always a ton of basketball also around me, and that's what I fell in love with. I was a all-state quarterback in high school as well, but I was just you know, it is. I mean, when you fall in love with the game of basketball, man, it just you can't shake it.
So, I know.
It was a fun time.
I tried to explain it to my wife. My son's 9, And last year he was 8, and he was not very good. We had moved from Connecticut, and we had had a tennis court that I had, played basketball on as well. And so he was decent, but I was working so much in the afternoons and on weekends that I wasn't able to really coach him. And, you know, he didn't go to clinics or whatever. He didn't grow up going to camps. And so when we got out to California, he was kind of overwhelmed a little bit. And I played him up, and he didn't love it. And then now he's gotten where he's kind of good at. He's better. He's not good, but he's better. And now he's addicted. You know, he's all over
right.
it. And it's amazing because he's playing catch up just in things he doesn't know. But I get you. Okay, so why didn't you go to Nebraska? Like, who was at Nebraska when you finished up in high school? It was like 2001 or 2002? You got done with high school.
Yeah, so I graduated in 2003. It was Barry Collier.
Okay.
Was the head coach at the time. And
he sounded perfect for you. He was a two.
I know, man.
He was a two car garage, two parent and the home guy. He loved state champions. Like, he was that was perfect for you.
I know. You would have thought. I have my little theories on things, you know. I mean, because I didn't really get recruited that hard by Nebraska at all. And I had this theory in my mind, and I'm just going to throw it at you. When Coach Collier took the job, he immediately signed 3 kids from the state of Nebraska. So a high school teammate of mine, Jake Muehlheisen, who was a really good player.
Yeah, I know Jake.
Then signed Wes Wilkinson, Jason DeRusso, check out 4, and then he signed Roy Enright. So he signed 1 kid from Grand Island, Nebraska, 2 kids from Omaha. So he takes the job, and within, you know, a year or two, all of a sudden he's got 4 kids. Doug, 4 kids from the state of Nebraska. And in my mind, I always wondered if he thought, man, am I really, because I mean, Nebraska high school basketball isn't great. I wonder if he thought in his mind, I'm getting a little Nebraska heavy, and I think I maybe need to diversify this a little bit. It was either that, or he didn't like my game that much. And what's funny is when I see him now, so I do, obviously with the Big East and Fox, I do a lot of Butler games. And now Coach Collier and I have a really good relationship, but I'm not going to lie, when I was coming out, I was hurt and
so he didn't offer you. He didn't offer you.
He didn't. Doug. He did not offer me a scholarship. He offered me to walk on. That was it. He didn't recruit me that hard.
So so Roy, who recruited you from Roy's staff?
Roy, Joe Holiday.
Yeah,
Joe Holiday,
great guy.
was the great guy. And what's funny, and it's amazing how much things have changed. And I'm sure you can relate to this. Like, I remember me and my high school coach, we sat down and this was VHS tapes. This was still when VHS tapes were a thing. And I made a list of 15 schools, and we put 2 or 3 of my games on 15 VHS tapes and just sent them out. Right. And, you know, we got responses from like almost everyone, either like, hey, we think, you know, we like you, we think you're mid-major, or hey, we're pretty loaded at the combo guard, 2 guard. But that's how Joe Holiday in Kansas found me, and he watched my film and liked me, and then everything kind of took off from there. It's interesting to say out loud in hindsight now that, I mean, Kansas recruited me exponentially harder than Nebraska did. And, I mean, Kansas was, you know, coming off back-to-back Final Fours and all that. And so, and what was hard was, you know, when I went back and played, when I was at Kansas and went back and played Nebraska, it was one of the most ruthless 2 hours of basketball I ever played in. I mean, anytime I caught the ball, they were chanting traitor and booing me. And
you're
I
like, dude,
to, like,
they didn't offer me a scholarship. You wanted me to walk
yeah.
on. So
I wanted to call timeout and grab the mic and explain all that to people. But, you know, I mean, all is well that ends well. I mean, and the journey ultimately led me back to Creighton, which was a really good fit for me to play for Coach Altman.
What was Roy like to play for?
Well, see, that's the thing. Roy left right as I was coming in.
So you're behind Aaron Miles. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I come in and I commit to play for Roy. Roy leaves for Carolina, and then Bill Self comes in. And absolutely love Bill Self. I mean, he is, you know, I mean, I think you're pretty close with him. He's, I mean, an awesome dude, unbelievable coach. And so I come in, and you know, it's when you play for someone who didn't recruit you, it's that's challenging. You know, I mean, it's tough. And especially when, my game compared to the guys that he likes or is a little different. You know, I mean, he kind of likes defensive oriented, tough minded guards, where I was more of a,
you know, I was soft,
a space the floor cerebral guy.
You're soft. You're just soft and slow.
I was soft.
White.
Yeah, no. God almighty, Bob, you're soft. You got all that from him all the time.
Yes.
But it was unbelievable to play at Kansas for 2 years. I always tell people, like, and I'm sure you know, with Yoki State blood pumping through you, that Kansas, you know, you probably can never shake the hate you feel for them.
But you
respect that program.
Listen, fans are, excuse my French, they're fucking idiots. Okay. I mean, by the way, they're just the dumbest fucking people on the face of the fucking earth because they don't understand the sport.
Yeah.
I grew up in Southern California, and there was a time Roy used to get one kid out of Southern California every year, including Paul Pierce, who was my roommate at ABCD.
Yep.
You go back and Adonis Jordan, my dad coached him, and he signed him. And there's just a litany of guys that they got. Eric Chenoweth, who was behind me, came from right down the street. He was like my kind of like my bigger little brother playing in Orange County. So I was actually pissed that he didn't offer me. Like, I was his exact prototype point guard for how he had at
You'd
Kansas.
Perfect for him.
Right. And
he
took Ryan Robertson, who was from, you know, much closer.
Yep.
And had a, so, and, but the other part is that people think that, like, 20 years later, you're still bitter about it. Like, no, like, I'm a grown up. It worked out really well for me. Did I get that Kansas got all the calls at home? Like, yeah, everybody kind of knows that, right?
Right.
But I think it's an awesome place. And right? Like, there's nothing. Okay, here's an honest question I have for you. You only played about half the games. There's a lot of games where you sat. I remember.
Bill's
first year, he inherited a loaded team, and they kind of fought him. I was told, like, he wanted longer practices, and, you know, Roy, when he gets to February, it becomes country club,
short.
You know, super, super short. Get in, get your shots, you know, run through your stuff and get out. But what's it like to go from, because I never experienced this, what is it like to go from being a superstar in high school and then actually not play in games, like be a healthy scratch?
It was really, really, really hard. I mean, because basketball is a rhythm sport and it's a confidence sport. I think Charles Barkley always has the great line, the only difference between a good player and a great player is confidence. And I don't care what you can do. You can kill in practice. You can kill in pickup games. You can put in a bunch of work in, you know, on the gun, individual workouts, whatever. But you got to go do it in a game. You know that. Like, you got to go do it in a game for that confidence to really explode. And I think that's something that killed me. Like, in some ways, I don't know if I ever fully regained that swagger that a lot of us play with in high school, and that, you know, that F you attitude when you take the floor, like, you know, I'm going to show everybody what the deal is here for the next 40 minutes. I don't know if I ever fully regained that. And that was hard.
That's a great point. See, I always feel like that was kind of my thing, which was like, look, when I, in AAU, I played with great players, so I did a little bit of both. But by my senior year, I was also a scorer and a passer. And then in high school, you know, I did everything. And then I got to Notre Dame, and I was trying so hard to do everything that John McLeod wanted that I kind of lost my game. And I got back some of that swagger the year I sat out. But then again, I was just like such a pleaser. But then you get into a role early on in college, and it's really hard to break out. Like, look,
hard to shake.
I get people all the time like, well, you couldn't shoot. Like, well, do you think I would have been recruited by everyone in the country if I couldn't shoot out of high school?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's total confidence, mental thing. And then, you know, you're told, you know, by people who don't understand, like, to kind of level off the attitude, whatever. But in order to, if you want to be a, and how tall are you?
6'2".
Yeah. To be a 6'2", or I'm a 6 foot white dude and play in the Big 12 and play, like, you better have some swagger. Like, you just do, because guys are coming at you every day. And it's a great point that you go somewhere and you think, all right, I'm going to bide my time. And for me, I thought, like, look, I'm just going to do what I got to do to get on the court. And then ultimately I'll let my game, you know, let my nuts hang and let my game come out.
Yep.
And it's a hard thing to get back when you lose that confidence.
It's tough. And especially for me, Doug, it was like, So I dislocated my shoulder the fourth game of my football season, my senior year, and I missed half my basketball season. So I'm coming back from that. Then I go to Kansas, and I basically more or less don't play for 2 years. Then I transfer and have to sit out. So, Doug, we're talking about like almost 3 full years of me not really playing a lot. And my rhythm was gone. My timing was gone, and my confidence was a little bit shook. And then the other thing, too, was I think subconsciously, I tried not to be like this, but I think there was an element of I walked into Creighton thinking, okay, I've just dealt with Keith Langford and Aaron Miles, and you know Kirk Heinrich can come back in the summer. I'm like, I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna run things here.
Yeah.
And there was a cat named Nate Funk at Creighton that was a big time mid major guard. I mean, I'm talking big time.
I remember.
And in a lot of ways, the my redshirt year at Creighton, the Valley got 4 teams in the NCAA tournament. Think about that. 4 teams from the Valley went into the NCAA tournament. Like, the Valley was really good. Southern Illinois was really good.
Yep.
So I'm willing to say out loud that the Valley was better than I thought it was. I think the 6 inches between my ears was an issue for me kind of throughout my career. And I kind of got it back my senior year a little bit. But then, you know, then I started to have, I was battling plantar fasciitis. I started to get kind of banged up and all that. But, you know, everybody's got their story to tell on kind of explaining the career. And they're, you know, I mean, listen, excuses or reasons.
No.
Branches from the same tree.
You don't got to go there with me. Like, again, this is where this podcast is not for civilians. It's for ball guys, right?
Right.
Like, if you're into ball.
Right.
And, yeah, it's like by the time you get your confidence back, now all of a sudden your body's letting you down. Like, for me, by the time I got my confidence back, you know, I was already kind of into broadcasting, and it was really hard. And then I was like, shit, you know?
Yeah, what are you doing? What do I do? Do I commit to broadcasting? Do I want to play? And then Coach Altman always, I think Coach Altman had this, and the other thing too is you talked about like trying to do everything your coach told you to do. I think Coach Altman wanted me to be like a charge taker, tough guy. And that really wasn't my game, you know. But and so you get into a horrible place where you're kind of fighting your role,
yeah.
And you'll just never win that battle. Like it's one of those things where I want to tell every kid playing out there: if you want to change your role, grow out of your role. Like, be a star, be amazing at your role to the point where you almost have to graduate to that next role. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
Like, if you want to be an unbelievable starter contributor, will kill it off the bench to the point where you're embracing everything you do to where the coach goes, okay, well, we got to give this guy more opportunities. We got to give him more minutes. And then things will build it up like that. I mean, the whole fighting your role is the dumbest thing you could ever do as a player.
Yeah. I also think, and I don't know if you had this, like I would work on my shooting and my game. And then we get into the season and, you know, you have a girlfriend, you have school, you have all this other stuff, and all that work you did, you still get in the gym. Like, I think guys now get in the gym a lot more because they have the ability and facilities, and they got the gun machine, and they got, you know, managers galore, whatever. But again, these are some excuses, some explanations. Some of it's just on me. Just I look back and I didn't, you know, I didn't necessarily stop working, but I wasn't working as hard in season as I did in the preseason. And, you know, when your confidence starts to wane and then the results aren't as good, then you're like, well, fuck it. I'll just pass and play defense and let the rest kind of take care of itself. It's a fascinating thing. And it's, do you have kids, right?
Yeah, I have a 3-year-old daughter.
It's an amazing thing to have a son. And, you know, like, he asked me, like, well, why didn't you play in the NBA? And I don't know how much I want to get into his head. What I told him was like, well, I didn't think I could shoot. And he's like, well, could you? I was like, well, yeah, I could. I just didn't think I could shoot. I said, you know, you can't ever let anybody tell you. You got to always believe, no matter what you're doing. But I don't want to get too much into his head and tell him that, you know, that I mind screwed myself, but I did. But it's an amazing thing to watch a kid kind of try and figure it out, and then he's going to ask you. And, you know, the good thing is, with the exception of the shooting thing, people tell him I was a much better player than I was. So that puts a little bit of pressure on him. But it's a fascinating thing to go through, and I think that most of us, you know, it's like, did you go play for the right coach? Did you go play at the right place? Did you have the right experience? Did you leave at the right time? Like when you left Kansas, the right decision? Was Creighton the right place? I don't know. Let me ask you this about Nebraska. What do you think happens there? I mean, you have your own show in Omaha.
Yeah.
They've built incredible facilities. It's a program that, you know, again, you got to be inventive as a recruiter. Tim's shown the ability to take them to the tournament. Obviously, he's coached other places and been good. He's a great guy. But they made a huge investment in an arena and in a practice facility. And, you know, I think people want better results than what they have gotten in spite of the injury. What do you think happens there?
Yeah, I think, first of all, when the fan base starts to – when that starts to turn on you, that's a hard thing to reverse. And it feels like that has happened, where – the fan base has slowly started turning on Coach Miles, and that negativity snowball is humming down the mountain right now. And some of it is hard from Coach Miles' standpoint, that, you know, the Sean Eichhorst was the athletic director that didn't hire him, but then Sean Eichhorst hires Mike Riley. That's a colossal failure. Now, so he's two athletic directors removed from the guy who hired him.
Right.
And it almost feels like Coach Miles has coached on the hot seat for three straight years. And you know this, Doug, because you get it. Like, that is a program killer, man. Like, he has the shortest contract of any coach in the Big Ten. That hurts recruiting. I think Tim has said he went on Jeff Goodman's podcast and talked about how when you're on the hot seat, you maybe coach a little bit different. He allowed a guy, Jordy Schmanga, big kid, who quit the team for 2 days to come back. And I think he felt like that was a decision that was based out of almost hot seat stuff. And so I think in his defense, I do think the fact that there's been a lack of support from above has hurt. But at the end of the day, you know, it's year seven. He's gone to the tournament one time. And the thing that I think kills him right now is, you know, he went to the tournament his second year. The next year he brought back Taran Petaway, Walter Pitchford, pretty much everybody. And they fell off a cliff and didn't even make the NIT. Then this year, you know, last year they went 13-5 in the Big Ten. Big Ten was down. They didn't get in the NCAA tournament. But they returned everybody. And this year they've kind of fallen off a cliff here over the past month and a half. So the two times they had good years, they didn't follow it up with sustaining it. And that's the true mark of a program, man.
Well,
you sustain it? A lot of people can have a cup of coffee up top, but can you sustain it?
Yes, also, if you return your guys. Like, and I saw you tweet out something about Penn State, who'd played everybody tough, and I don't know if they make a change there, but, you know, like, look, Penn State lost their best player, lost a couple other – I mean, they're a completely different team, whereas the difference with Tim – and I think we both like Tim and think he's a good coach,
yeah, so
but the difference is that returning – or the meat of your team, they've had these bizarre kind of failures the following season, which is the odd part. Let me follow up with this. You know, I always thought that Dana would only, you know, Dana left for like a week to be Arkansas's head coach. I always thought Iowa was the other job, you know, because he's originally from there. Iowa would be the job that he'd take. You know, you got the Oregon thing. He took him to the Final Four, but he just doesn't seem like an Oregon guy. And he keeps having these one-and-done guys, and he doesn't really have the success he has with guys or program guys in his program. I'm just wondering if you think that if Dana would come home and coach the other team in Nebraska.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Now, with that said, you know, because that's always kind of been the thought. I think there was some thought when Miles was hired. I mean, almost every single – coaching change they've made over the past two, three coaches, there was always the chance that Dane Altman was going to get the job, but he really never got a phone call. But I was emceeing an event this summer where Kyle Korver and Dane Altman went into the Creighton Hall of Fame, and I'm sitting there watching Coach Altman speak to this, you know, room full of Creighton people, and there was this moment where I'm sitting there going, God, would he do it? Would he go to the other side? Because Creighton and Nebraska, it's a big rivalry in the state. I do think there's enough time removed from his time coaching in Omaha, and Creighton's in a good place now. They move to the Big East. I don't think the fan base would necessarily feel terrible about it. And listen, Dana Altman is born and raised Wilbur, Nebraska, and that's Big Red country. And I think he's a guy, as you said it, I mean, Oregon's the flashiest university in the country. And Dana Altman is the complete opposite of that. Right. There is an element of, I totally agree with you. I mean, has the guy ever worn anything other than a white button-up dress shirt? Like, the dude is, everything about Oregon is the complete opposite of Coach Altman. And so I think, you know, his family's from Nebraska. His wife's family's from Nebraska. I think he always wants to retire in Nebraska. All his friends are here. Like, there are a lot of there's a lot about the taking the job outside of basketball that makes sense.
And then the basketball job is a lot better than it used to be. I mean, it's still a hard job.
Yes.
But I mean, they used to play in a different building. Now you got an unbelievable facility, right? And you know, his name credibility would buy him all the time he needs. And plus, if it doesn't end up happening, he retires and rides off into the sunset. It does. You know, I don't want to fire Tim again because Mike Lewis is a dear friend of mine. And I think they're good. I think they're a great guy and good people. But, you know, this is the business. And
it's the nature. Yeah, it's the nature of the business.
And it's what everybody listening to this pod actually talks about, which is it's the weird thing about a lot of guys in the business, which is they'll say, like, I can't believe Goodman has his hot seat or whatever. Like, hey, dude, the second I text you, you're like, did you hear this job's coming open and that job's coming open? Like, well, we're not allowed in the business to talk about it.
Right. I mean, it's the thing about Nebraska, real quick, about that job. Is a lot of it is however. First of all, I'm not sure. Have you been to the new arena? Have you been to Pinnacle Bank and done a game there yet?
No.
Have you seen it at all?
No. I saw when it was being built. I did games when it was being built.
You know how it is. There are certain power conference jobs where the arena's dead. It's half full. There's no energy. Nebraska, it's been top 10 nationally in attendance for the past couple of years. You would have no idea when you're at a home game that Nebraska, now that Northwestern won a tournament game a couple years ago, that Nebraska is the only power conference school to never have won an NCAA tournament game based on the environment. Like, it's rocking in there, Doug. Like, it is packed. And it's
they still leave early like they used to? They always used to. Everybody used to say, like, it's like a fire alarm.
I don't know what engineer built it this way, or architect, where everybody, to leave, you have to, like, walk down onto the court and, like, walk out. So it's, like, it looks bad on TV, too, because you can see everybody kind of funneling down. But, and it's all in the eye. You know, you can look at that job and be scared off and spooked by the lack of success the coaches have had. But at the same time, you can look at it and go, man, all we got to do is get to the tournament, and if we win a game, they're going to build a statue of
Correct.
Me outside of this brand-new arena because you are instantly I mean, if Nebraska goes to the tournament, wins a game, it's the best season in Nebraska basketball history. And when that's the at least initial bar of things, that's the one thing about, you know, whether it's the UCLA job or whatever, like the expectations are something you always got to take into consideration when you take a job. And with Nebraska, that bar is not necessarily too high.
Marquette loses to Villanova. How good is Marquette? Wojo actually asked me this question, and so I think he downloads the podcast. How good do you think they are?
I think they're. I think they're a team that is going to need the right matchup. I think just like, and you can say that about a lot of teams, but I think the really good teams are kind of matchup proof, if that makes sense.
How many teams are there that are matchup proof this year, though?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think
my thing is, I think I feel like they're a guard away. Like, if Kobe McEwen was eligible this year, like, I don't think he's last year at Utah State, he was as good as what his reputation will be leading into Marquette next year. But they had somebody else other than Marcus who could handle the ball, who could make a couple
that's
plays, right? And
yep,
like, look, the Hauser boys are awesome, awesome. And I love, you talk about you know, succeeding in your roles, whether it's Siakam or Theo John, like, those guys have improved, but they also totally accept, embrace, and thrive within their roles. But it's kind of like, look, Marcus Howard, they run everything for him, and then the Hauser boys can post, they can shoot, and they can play off of him, but it feels like they need one more guy to handle the ball, and they just don't have that.
Yeah, I think, you know, Annam has gotten better, but he's still not an overly dynamic guy creating. You know, he's a guy that probably needs a close out, you know, a kick close out to really go make a play, or, mm-hmm. you know, a weave to get downhill kind of a look. I'm with you. And I watched that Utah State transfer in practice. He was Miles Powell on the scout team, and dude was cooking.
Yeah.
So he's a really good player. But I'd agree. I like Marquette. I mean, because the other day, Marcus Howard is – I mean, you got the fact that this dude can go for 40, 50 any night.
Yeah, it's
and,
cheap
you know, they do have guys that – it's not like you can just punk you can just play way up. Like with Seton Hall, you can totally sell out to Miles Powell, and they just don't have a ton of guys that can score. And the other dude's on the floor.
Right.
What, I mean, you can't just give Joey Hauser 10 standstill threes. You know, you can't give you can't give those guys easy looks. But I'm with you. There is an element of they feel like they're a ball handler short, but I think they've really improved defensively. I think they totally have embraced who they are. And when you got a guy like Howard, I mean, anything's possible. And when they've beat good teams, I mean, Buffalo's a really good team. Howard went nuts in the second half, had 40 in the second half. They beat a Kansas State team who, as you know, that's a bunch of grown men defensively that Howard torched. Like, they're a team that I don't love to make a deep run, but it also wouldn't stun me because they got the stud in Howard.
Tonight, at the time of this recording, you're gonna call Old Dominion against UT San Antonio, and I've seen both in person. I've done some CUSA games, and the UTSA guards, Keaton Wallace and Javon Jackson, dude, they're fun. They combined average like 44 points a game. ODU is really good defensively. BJ Stith is their stud. Of course, his dad Bryant is on the staff, played for Jeff Jones at Virginia. It's kind of a little bit weird, right? But that both brothers mm-hmm. and the dad played for the coach. Like, and he doesn't. Maybe it's because I was recruited by Jeff that I don't feel like there are any. He's that old, but I guess he is that old. This is a league that's produced teams that have won NCAA tournament games. Really, one team that's won NCAA tournament games the past couple years. Middle had it rolling. How is ODU good enough to win a game in the tournament?
I absolutely. I mean, they're big. They're tough to play against because they control tempo, and they got what you want in terms of what you chase as any program. They got two senior veteran guards that are 1,000-point scorers that aren't going to be afraid of any moment. And the thing that makes them kind of unique is with BJ Stith, anymore, it's hilarious to watch people try to defend like long curls and defend pin downs. People are that's become the unique thing.
Yeah.
Like now everything is
ball screen, yeah.
Pick and pop, you know, spread it out. Old Dominion's unique in the sense that they'll do some ball screen stuff with Ahmad Kaver, their point guard. But they're really doing a lot of different things with Stith, running him off of curls and pin downs and different things, and it's tough for people to slow him down. So I think they're good enough. I mean, they're outstanding defensively. I think they're top 10 nationally in field goal percentage defense, which is something that I don't scoring defense. A lot of that has to do with your tempo and your pace. I mean. At least I'm a field goal percentage defense guy. And so the fact they, I mean, teams don't shoot a high percentage on them. I don't think they're a team that can necessarily make a run to the second weekend, but you know, they're the type of team that would be a tough one to see if you saw them in the first round because of their tempo and their style.
Zion goes down with a sprained knee. I'm guessing he's probably healthy. Do you think he should play?
Man, Doug, now, listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but sometimes you need a choir to preach to. Like, what are people talking about with the whole shut it down stuff? Like, I don't want to be disingenuous. Do I understand that? Can I wrap my mind around the other side of it? I suppose. But this isn't like Christian McCaffrey sitting out of the Little Caesars Bowl.
Sun Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I can wrap my mind around that. You know what I mean? Like, it's a game. It's not a championship. You're a running back. It's like you're going to get hit 30 times in a game. Like Zion, they're still playing for a national championship. And I just do not want to live in a world where I'm going to say out loud that I don't see any value in that at all.
Well, just a financial – I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just the idea of people like, well, there's no value in it. Yes, there is. You win a national championship, your brand and likeness – I don't want to say they double, but you become – like, we all think everybody knows who Zion is. Like, that's just not
right.
The – They just don't. I mean, the power – look, dude, I worked at CBS and for Turner, and I had done it for 10 years, done the NCAA, done all the college basketball for 10 years, and I can tell you, the first time I was on CBS, I'd go to the airport and be like, I didn't know you'd – you know, and like, I had no idea. Like, what do you mean you don't have no idea? Because people watch the tournament that have never watched basketball before. That's the beauty of the tournament.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead. And then just the competitive aspect to it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to use Zion, the other thing, too, and the problem is people have taken a bunch of different conversations and tried to slam it into this one Zion should shut it down. It's like, okay, we can have the one and done conversation. We can have the pay players conversation. Like, this is not necessarily applicable to all that. I mean, because to me, the thing, if you want to use Zion Williamson as a reason why the one and done should go away, like, that's, dude, you got the wrong guy. If anything, he's the argument for going to college, because he was not the number one pick 3 months ago. RJ Barrett was. Now Zion's the number one pick. He was a YouTube sensation.
Right.
And as you said, like, not everybody knows who this dude was. Now he's getting 24/7, 365 chatter on Fox, on ESPN, and all these different networks. If he wasn't playing for Duke and playing college basketball, that's not happening. Like, so his profile has increased even more. So I just he's the example for going to college. And then the other thing I don't understand too is that, okay, so he shuts it down, right? Mm-hmm. Is he still gonna play basketball?
Of course,
right? He's gonna work out.
Right.
What I don't understand. I think Mike DeCourcy wrote about this, and it's spot on. It's like, so are we saying that it's okay? Like, if Zion Williamson gets hurt playing pickup on a random Saturday morning, that's cool. But if he gets hurt playing NC State or whoever, like in Cameron Indoor, that's not okay. He's gonna continue to play basketball, and there's a chance he's gonna get hurt. I don't get it at all.
I don't either. Hey man, enjoy Virginia. It's a cool arena there, and let's catch up again soon. Next time you're in LA, beer on me or coffee on me. I'm more of a coffee guy, but I love Omaha. I may pop in and see
you. Yes, sir.
Yours in Hoops. We'll talk soon.
Hey man, I love the podcast. I listen to it all the time. Really appreciate you having me on, Doug.
I want to see if you listen to yourself. That'll be awkward.
It will be.
All right, last thing in terms of college basketball. I understand that they play in the West Coast Conference. I fully get that they've been so ridiculously dominant, it points out. Actually, I got two things I want to get to with college basketball. First is, how do we get to this point where the Pac-12 teams like Arizona State, who was actually good in the non-conference, did lose at home to Princeton after beating Kansas. Like, their success in conference and their improvement somehow gets marginalized, as opposed to, say, St. Mary's, which has played its way into the bubble, which hasn't offered any sort of level of competitiveness with Gonzaga. Like, beating up on average WCC teams? St. Mary's is not an NCAA tournament team. I think Arizona State is. I frankly think if Oregon State can beat both Arizona and Arizona State this week and then beat at least Washington State on the road, maybe they lose to Washington. All right, so you go 3-1 down the stretch and win a game in the Pac-12 tournament. I think they're an NCAA tournament team. I'm looking at this bubble and these bottom teams, and we're making excuses for teams that have had bad seasons. Well, they play in great conferences. I agree. Good conferences against good conference schedules. But if you're 2 or 3 or 4 games below 500, sorry. And then we're also bearing the lead. I think Duke is outstanding. And I think some of their younger players have gotten better. But Gonzaga beat them in Maui, and Gonzaga has gotten better. We keep searching for reasons to put Virginia ahead of Duke. Look, if Zion Williamson's playing, Virginia's better than Duke. How do I know? They played twice, and they're better. And I think they're going to continue to get better. I still think Virginia is a Final Four caliber team, but don't tell me that they're the second best team if Zion's playing. If Zion's not playing, Duke ain't winning this thing, not with two scores. No way. and not enough shooting. They might not have enough shooting anyway. And if you don't have Zion, you just don't have enough. But Gonzaga is your best team. Start there, and then every other conversation can take place. All right, this is going to do it for All Ball. My thanks to Nick Baugh. Thanks to you for downloading, subscribing, and rating the show. Reminder, listen to my radio show daily, 3 to 6 Eastern Time, 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Until next time, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball. When you're ready to place a bet on today's games, do it with the most trusted name in online sports betting, BetRivers Sportsbook. Now legal in several states and growing, BetRivers Sportsbook delivers a unique sports betting experience featuring live streaming sports, in-game wagering, fast authorizations on most withdrawals, and gold standard customer service. Go to BetRivers.com, see for yourself, must be 21, and be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The more we learn about COVID-19, the more questions and worries we have. CalHope can help with free COVID-19 emotional support. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today. The more we learn about COVID-19, the more questions we have. The biggest question now? What's next? What will COVID bring in 6 months? A year? If you're feeling anxious about the future, you're not alone. CalHope offers free COVID-19 emotional support. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.